Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to continue in this episode with our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We left off here in verse 3, which says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Now we're going to be looking in this episode at the whole issue of the labor of love and what it is that the Apostle Paul is trying to get across for us, the members of the body of Christ, related to this labor of love. Now, when we look at that aspect of love, one of the first things that we can see that the Apostle Paul talks about with him, let's go over to the book of Romans, and we'll go to Romans chapter number 5. And we'll see here in this passage where the Apostle Paul is going to be saying some very important things related to love when he says here, pick up in verse number 6 of Romans chapter number 5, says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we see that expression of love that God displays towards mankind, that the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary could truly be that demonstration of love. And it's given towards us. Even when we were yet the enemies of God, God was still displaying that love toward man. Now, when we look at some of the issues related to, you know, how grace works and how the law works, we see that there's motivations that come up in the scriptures. And when you're dealing with things related to the law and Israel's program, one of the things that we see is that there's a whole issue of, it's not love that motivated individuals to do things, but it was fear that was actually motivating them to do the right thing. We see that, for example, over here in the book of Proverbs. We'll go to Proverbs chapter number 1. You know, and this is, you know, a verse that, you know, some churches will actually put up on their message board thing. And when you really look at this, you know, you can see how this does not display grace or love in any sort of manner. And it says here in Proverbs chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we see the issue of wisdom, and that wisdom talking about, you know, what it is for man to be doing the right thing, that the book of Proverbs talks about that wisdom comes from fear. And that fear came about through when they looked at the Word of God and had an understanding of what the Word that was given to them, they could see the fear that they were supposed to have. And we see how that issue of the wisdom worked out with things. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul's going to have a conversation related to some issues of wisdom here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's start here, verse number 7. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we can understand the things from the Word of God, you know, all the wisdom that's been given unto us. Now, when you look at what Israel had, Israel's understanding was things related to the law and how there was all these commands for them of, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that, don't do this. And if they were doing the right things, you know, you can see in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 that there would be blessings that would follow. And if they were not doing the right thing, there would be cursings that were going to follow them. So it was very clear when you could look at the life of an individual that you could see, were they doing the right thing? And some of those punishments would actually be things related to death. That's why there was a fear that comes about in Israel's program. And we see that issue of, and that's why you start reading things about chastisement, punishment, all of these terms that are used related to the nation of Israel. In fact, you can see this if we read over in the book of Hebrews, and let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12. And we'll see here in the book of Hebrews where the author is going to write some things related to the issue of chastisement related to Israel's program. And here in chapter number 12 of the book of Hebrews, we'll start here, verse number 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Now we see through this, when you are looking at these things related to chastisement, as the author of the book of Hebrews is talking about, that all of these things related to this issue are when somebody is doing the wrong thing, there is a punishment that comes from God in order to get the individual to walk correctly, to try to get that individual back in line with what the Word of God is actually saying for them. Now, that's the whole purpose of the law, was really not to point out for them in some ways how to live their life, but it really pointed out every single mistake that they made. It pointed out their failures, pointed them to the fact that they needed something to actually take care of the sin issue for them, and they're motivated by this fear of, you know, what's going to happen to them, and if they still have that sin present in them, that there would be a fear of actually losing the salvation that they actually had. And that's why you see discussions of the losing of salvation in, you know, we're in the book of Hebrews. You see that in Hebrews chapter number 6, where it talks about these individuals who had tasted of that gift, and that they've lost that gift, and how it would be impossible for them to regain it again, because the only way to regain it again would be for the Lord Jesus Christ to be sacrificed again on the cross at Calvary. Now, the good thing for us, the members of the body of Christ, is that we know we have that issue of sin that has been taken care of for us. We know that we already have the victory over these things. We know that we have these things not because of anything that we have done, but we have all these things because we've put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and believing in that and that alone for our salvation, which then makes us a member of the body of Christ. And in order for there to be a chastisement placed upon us, because it's really Christ in us, and I'm going to read a verse here that's going to show that it's Christ in us. Let's go over to the book of Galatians, and we'll go to Galatians chapter number 2. And we'll see here what the Apostle Paul writes. We're going to read here verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now from this verse, the one thing that we can actually see is that if there actually was chastisement that was actually going to come upon the member of the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul's identifying the fact that it's Christ in me. So that chastisement would have to come upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never going to be any chastisement that's put upon him because he did everything right. He was sinless. There was nothing that could occur with him that where he would receive that chastisement. The only reason why he even paid that penalty of sin was because he took our sin upon himself and dealt with it on the cross. Now, it's not something that keeps happening over and over again. That was a one-time event. So, it's not that fear that's going to motivate the members of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about how we've not been given that spirit of fear. He identifies that when he writes to Timothy and things. Instead, he talks about the life that the members of the body of Christ is supposed to live. We saw it in it. It's Christ living through us. That's what's supposed to occur. We see this also if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. You know, and this is a very familiar passage for a lot of individuals. And they'll really read the first two verses and kind of leave off the third verse, which really ties in with what these first two verses say. Here in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10 here. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God the Father wants us to do these things, but he wants them to do it not because there's a spirit of fear that comes upon us, but it's because of the grace that has been extended towards us, which is what you see in verses 8 and 9, where it talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ is who took care of that issue of sin. It has nothing to do with our works, but yet the members of the body of Christ are appointed that they should be doing those good works because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's really when the Apostle Paul is talking about this issue of this labor of love that he sees the Thessalonian church displaying this is actually what he sees with them. Now, when we read, and we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a couple episodes ago, looking at how it pointed out those same things that he's making a reference to in the Thessalonian church, and he said, I talked about faith, hope, and charity. And we see that the Thessalonian church, it talks about the faith, love, and hope. And individuals will say, well, you know, it's a different word there, so it can't mean the exact same thing. Now, when you really talk about that issue of charity, which you see over in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, we take the idea of charity to mean, you know, it's something where you just give money to and then, you know, they go ahead and they do something with it. The real meaning of charity is that dealing with, it's the love being put in action that's being displayed. And that's really what the Apostle Paul, really when he looks at that labor of love and he talks about the charity to the Corinthian church, that's what he's actually seeing, is that demonstration of the love that they had. And we see that laid out as an example here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we'll see an example of this love as they were pouring it out here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we're going to read here verses 15 and 16. And it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. So he holds up this household and talks about how they've addicted themselves to this ministry of the saints, that they are, their whole life revolves around the fact that they are trying to help the other members of the body of Christ. That they're displaying this love in action towards all of these other saints. And the Apostle Paul holds them up as an example to say, this is what every member of the body of Christ should be attaining to, that they should be trying to help out all of the other members of the body of Christ. And that if you see this going on, that you should also be trying to support the people who are actually trying to do this in their life and trying to help out all these other individuals. Now you see the Apostle Paul also talk about some things related to this, and let's go over to the book of 2 Corinthians now. And we see here as he writes again to this exact same local assembly that he says here over here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to read here verse number 4, and says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And again, he's holding up this issue of that there should be ministering to the saints, and that this would be a result of this gift that has been given unto them. This gift, though, he's talking here about some things related to financial things and giving, and that's what you really see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter number 9, those things. And you see him again, you know, the very first verse of chapter number 9, talking again about this ministering to the saints, when it says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. He really talks about this thing of, you know, it's really no need for him to be writing unto them talking about this, because they had that example, what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, the household of Stephanas, that he doesn't really need to write unto them anymore about this, because they actually had individuals in that city who were doing exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying that they should be doing, and say, well, you can just look right at these individuals, look at the life that they're doing, look at all the actions that they're performing, and you can see that this is exactly what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And you don't have to worry about anything of him saying, okay, you're doing this wrong, because they had that pattern for themselves. He writes over into the church at Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 6. And again, we're going to see this issue of him writing to a local assembly as he lays out some of the practical things as he's giving them some information. And here in Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to read here verse 10, which says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." So the members of the body of Christ are supposed to be doing good unto all men. You know, it's not just, well, I'll do good unto you because I like you, and I don't like you, so I'm not going to do good unto you. The Apostle Paul says we're supposed to be doing good unto all men. But he also puts in a qualification here at the end of this verse when he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So while the members of the body of Christ are supposed to be doing good to all men, there's a special clarification, a special group of people that the members of the body of Christ are really supposed to be making sure that they're taking care of, and that's the individuals who are of the household of faith. The individuals who've put their trust in the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. Individuals, by doing that, who are saints, who are members of the body of Christ, who become that household of faith. That's the first group that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to be focusing on, making sure that doing good unto them, and then also doing good also unto all men as well. Now, if we're truly doing good unto all men, part of that doing good unto everyone, if they're not a member of the household of faith, one of the things that we need to really be making sure of is that they're receiving the gospel. They're getting that opportunity to become part of that household of faith, that they would have that gospel presentation, that opportunity to hopefully be saved. Now, the Apostle Paul makes one more example here. We're going to read this over. Let's go to the book of Philippians. We're going to Philippians chapter number 2. And we're going to see how he's going to be giving one more example related to this love in action, to charity that he makes a reference to. In Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to start here, verse number 25. It says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." Now we see here this example of Epaphroditus, the person who had been ministering with the Apostle Paul, who had been sick. He had ministered to the wants and the needs of the Apostle Paul. He longed after this church in Philippi, so he had a care for the saints, was demonstrating his love to the Apostle Paul, to this local assembly. But we also see the care that this local assembly also had for Epaphroditus. We see that the issue of that care and how he sends Epaphroditus unto them, so that way there can be a ministry unto them, taking care of their needs, demonstrating that love that's supposed to be present. And that's really something that you know, all of the members of the body of Christ really need to be making sure that they're demonstrating that love towards each other. You know, there's not many individuals who truly believe the gospel, and if we're not taking care of each other, you know, individuals who might be looking at us, looking to see what it is that we do, they see that we don't even care about each other. You know, one of the first things they're going to be saying is, you know, I don't want to believe that gospel if that's going to be the end result. You know, they see how it is that we treat one another, and we should be treating each other in that love that the Apostle Paul says, and how he holds up this church at Thessalonica and says that they truly had that labor of love. Now, in our next episode, we're going to talk about the patience of hope and what it is the Apostle Paul is actually making a reference to there. Now, as we close out, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your own personal Bible study. We have links to some audio files of messages. We have information about how you can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, or also join our Wednesday night Bible study. And always, as I say, we would love to hear from each and every one of you as well. So until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.